Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Super excited to have our next guest on. You've read Barry Bloom over the years. You have. We all have. Forbes Magazine, Bloomberg, MLB, San Diego Union Tribune, senior writer now at Sportico, man of the world. He had a great piece on Team USA and the Olympics coming up in Japan. We're closing in on the Olympics, but who's going to play? USA basketball facing some tough decisions in front of Tokyo. Barry Bloom joining us now. Barry, are you in Arizona? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix. And thanks. Great introduction. You covered all the bases.
I appreciate it. We don't mess around here. We want the best guests. And I was like, we want to talk USA basketball. We get Barry Bloom on. What's the rub here? Because, you know, LeBron says he's not playing. Anthony Davis says he's not playing. Steph says he's 50-50. What are we really talking about? Like, who's going to want to go?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I've also been doing the USA, Team USA baseball story, too. They just qualified last weekend after three shots at it. And now they've got 7 weeks to put together a team also with all the restraints that Major League Baseball puts in on them. At least the NBA, it's the middle of the summer. Anybody who plays in the NBA can play. But I think as itemized in the story, you know, you're just in a season here where, you know, last year you had, you know, the 60-game season and the four-month break and then 2 months in the bubble. For a lot of teams that went deep into the bubble, the season break wasn't very long. As the Heat and the Lakers found out, you know, they went the longest. The Lakers won the championship. You know, they were eliminated in the first round. And a lot of it was fatigue and injuries. You know, I think just people like LeBron were just completely exhausted. So now you're in a situation here where the season is stopped for a lot of those guys. But do you want to get in and train for another 2-3 weeks, go and play in elimination tournament in Japan under less than ideal conditions where you're back in the bubble and you know, the coronavirus is still expanding in Japan. The vaccination rate is below 3. You know, there's not going to be any American or foreign fans in the stands and very little foreign press, I think, too. And so it's just something you really want to do. So I think there's a lot of problems here on, you know, how they select the team and who wants to go.
57 players, they say, are being evaluated. What happens in Las Vegas on July 4th? How does Vegas factor into this?
Well, according to, you know, Jerry Colangelo, who's the outgoing managing director of the program and has had a lot of success there, it's like they're going to make invitations and they're going to figure out who's going to come before they get to Vegas. This is not supposed to be a tryout camp in Vegas. This is supposed to be a training period where, you know, they're going to get together under Popovich. They're going to play some exhibition games, and then, you know, they get there on the 4th. They leave to Tokyo on the 18th. The tournament starts there on the 24th of July, so it doesn't give you much time. They're going to have a team selected and some commitments for like 15 basketball players before they go to Vegas. So I think that's what, you know, Vegas is all about. And it's not the way Colangelo has really worked the program over the last, you know, decade or so or more since he came on in 2005 and had to reestablish the whole USA basketball men's program. I mean, essentially, he looks for long-term commitments. They play in the World Cup 2 years earlier. Then he tries to keep a semblance of that team together and committed going into the Olympics. And this time, because of COVID, you just didn't have it. It's very unusual. So, you know, there's a lot of problems with this.
We're talking to Barry Bloom, senior writer, Sportico. You've got Jerry Colangelo, 81 years old. He will retire after these Olympics. Grant Hill will replace him. How does Grant Hill, Jerry Colangelo, will they be working together on this? Is this more about, hey, among the 57, who wants to go to Japan where 2.7% of the population has been vaccinated? You know, a lot of swirling factors here.
Yeah, that's a good question. My understanding from USA Basketball is that, you know, no, Grant will not be involved in the selection process this time around on who the athletes are that are going there. That's going to be mostly, you know, Popovich and Colangelo and their staff. And then, you know, Grant is going will be there in Vegas as an observer. But as Colangelo said, they couldn't even, it's so tight going over to Tokyo that they couldn't even get him a credential, so he's not going there. So, I mean, once this is all over and Jerry steps down, and I'm sure he'll be involved in an advisory capacity, I hope they use him more there than the Suns and the Diamondbacks do, who really don't pay too much attention to him, even though he developed those franchises. You know, I think Grant will have him to lean on. But his tenure really doesn't start until these Olympics are over.
I'm really wondering who's going to end up there. And I think a lot of Portland fans are looking at Damian Lillard and other players and going, hey, do you want – it amounts to another bubble. And they all left that bubble saying never again. So I'm curious to see who will sign back up for it. No spouses, no visiting fans. It's going to be a little bit like that bubble they had in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, just on a smaller scale with you know, much less time. I mean, that bubble in Florida was for the teams that were there lasted months. You know, in this camp, you know, for the teams that played deep, especially. So this is like 16 days, and I think you can weather anything for 16 days. But I think, you know, Lillard's a good call because, you know, the Pacers went out after the first round. He's one of the top players in the game. He's young. He's healthy. Yeah, I'm sure he's, without Jerry naming it, I'm sure he's high on Jerry's list of 57. He would have to be.
The Phoenix Suns, meanwhile, in your neighborhood, are looking really good. They're up 2-0 on the Nuggets. Are you surprised at where the Suns are today and the way that Chris Paul is playing?
You know what? I picked them up late in the season. I did a lot of hockey this year. In my new role over at Sportico, I'm back to doing, you know, every sport. I center in on baseball, but, you know, this year I've been able to do some other things. You know, I picked them up late in the season. They were very, very talented. You know, just what I saw in the last four home games that I covered. And now into the playoffs. I mean, if you look back on it right now, they've played five games in a row against the Lakers and the Nuggets where they've just blown these teams out. I mean, the teams weren't even a factor. I mean, once AD went down with the Lakers, and after the first half of that, I think it was game four, they played 10 quarters in a row against the Lakers that were pretty much uncontested. I mean, the Lakers made a little run back in the third and fourth quarter of game six, but they were down by 29 points. And the Lakers, and the Suns still won by 13 points. You know, I look at it as, you know, the Suns have a lot of options. You know, and they played with Paul hurt. They played with Paul well. I mean, having been around them 2 years ago a lot, you know, and watched the development, Booker was hurt. They didn't have Paul. They didn't have a point guard. I there's no question that Paul, you know, makes it. But this guy, Cameron Payne, coming off the bench behind Paul, is no slouch either. And every time they put him in, there really isn't any drop. And so now you play Booker and Paul to the backcourt against Denver, which really doesn't have much of a backcourt with all the injuries right now. And everything is centered on Jokic. And in the first two games, they've just negated Jokic. You know, in game one, Ayton was, you know, had 20 points. Jokic had 22, I think. Last night, Jokic had 24. And then Ayton, the backup center, had 20 or 22. I mean, if you play them even, and, you know, Charles Barkley said this on the air, that if Ayton plays and their centers play, Jokic even, there's no way that Denver can win this series. And really looking at it, I don't know what kind of adjustments they can even make now, because they're just short at what the Suns do. And the Suns have so many different options. If something's not working for them, they're so well coached that they change right on the fly. You know, they can go down low. They can hit three-pointers. They can hit medium-range jump shots. They can drive the lane. And they're like an old-style NBA team where they just push the ball. In fact, one of the most fun games I saw all year, you know, they played the Trailblazers at the end of the season. It was their last home game. And it was the first game they put like 8,000 people or 9,000 people in the stands. And they were all charged up. And, you know, the Suns had a lead. Portland made a run in the fourth quarter. And then Booker won it with a three-pointer at the end of the game. It was one of the best games I've seen. So, I mean, to me, look, I go back, you know, and I'm not going to date. I don't care about dating myself. When I was a kid, I was sitting in – let's go back here. When I was sitting in Staples Center for games 3 and 4 of the first round, I looked up at the rafters at all the Lakers banners and retired jerseys. And it dawned on me that when I was a kid growing up in New York, I went to the 1970s final and I saw Jerry West and Wilt play against the Knicks in that final. Then as a young adult and a growing mature adult, I covered Magic and Kareem, I covered Shaq and Kobe, and here I was covering AD and LeBron, and I just ran the gamut. That's how far back I go with basketball. And I lost basketball for a while. It was driving me crazy. I could not watch it. And now I'm having more fun watching basketball right now than I have in a long time. And the Suns are a big part of it.
Barry Bloom, senior writer, Sportico, is with us. Last question, Barry. You know, is there a chance that so many NBA players say, I don't want to participate, that they have a difficult time putting together a team? Or do you feel confident that among the 57, they'll be able to field a team, get them together for training camp in Vegas, get them over to Tokyo, win the gold medal, and get home?
Oh, yeah. No, I think they'll get a team together. I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's just the quality of the team, the level of the player. But you're certainly going to have some lower to middle range NBA players who are going to say, hey, you know, this is a way for me to boost my career, get a better contract, get sponsorships. There's a lot of reasons to go play on, you know, what this edition of, you know, what would be the dream team would be. And so, yeah, there's going to be, you know, guys who are going to play. Then the question is going to be, really, how does Popovich get them together? And, you know, how competitive are they over there, you know, against some of the better teams in the world? I mean, now you're talking about, there used to be a day when the U.S. went into the Olympics and they just dominated. Then that disappeared. And Colangelo had to come in, and they rebuilt the team and the commitment to the team, and now they've won a succession of gold medals again. But 2 years ago, before even COVID, they went into the World Cup, the FIBA World Cup, and they finished seventh. So it should tell you, you know, what the level of international play is like right now. And then, in fact, you know, the top player in the NBA didn't play college ball over here. He just was named the MVP, and he came over from Serbia. That's where the sport is. And, you know, for them to win over there is going to be take a cohesive effort. And I'm sure this is not what Popovich envisioned when he took over for Mike. I'm not sure this is not the way Jerry wanted to go out. But, you know, every one of these things are different. You know, they'll play there, and they'll have a team. But how competitive that team and how good that team will be is really a question.
Barry Bloom, senior writer, Sportico. You know, the Blazers, Barry, are looking for a new coach. You know, obviously Chauncey Billups, his name came up. Also, we have talked about Jason Kidd. That came up, and then Kidd removed himself. You've got Mike D'Antoni, who's you're familiar with his work in Phoenix. You've seen him in the league. He's come out and said he's interested, very interested in the job. Is that a guy you'd put in Portland with Damian Lillard? The sense is they want to go with a defensive coach. He's not a defensive coach.
No, look, I love Mike. He's a really good guy. I think he's a really good coach. He coaches an entertaining style of basketball. I mean, it's no secret, really, that there was an 11-year gap here in Phoenix in playoff appearances between, you know, D'Antoni's team that pushed the ball and played very entertaining basketball with a really, you know, core of great players. Some Hall of Famers were on that team. You know, they never really didn't get past the conference finals. But, you know, kind of like I said the other day, you know, the Sons of Connor, like the Padres of basketball. You know, both teams have been to the playoffs, to the World Series twice, or the finals. The other team has won. You know, the Padres haven't been there since 98. They haven't been there since 93. You know, but, you know, now they push the ball like the D'Antoni teams. And I'm not sure a defensive coach, no. I mean, when you have the kind of talent, you have good talent in Portland. You want to take advantage of that talent. You want to see those guys run with the best teams. And I think Mike is a really good choice. He had great, you know, success, you know, down here. He had good success in Houston before that petered out. Not so much with the Lakers. But, you know, if you're looking for an experienced coach, I'm very much a go with an experienced coach in a situation where you have, you know, a top NBA talent and good veterans around them. Then do, you know, either a secondary recycled coach or somebody who hasn't coached before. You know, it's like, it doesn't need to be a training ground or a place where somebody needs to prove something. It just needs a guy who will take it over the top. And, of course, you know, Mike's never been, I don't think he's never won the championship. So I think it would be a great thing to have him there.
Barry Bloom, thank you. Sportico, read him there. Thanks, Barry.
John, thanks for having me on. Great interview. Really appreciate it. Give me a chance to talk about basketball for once.
There you go. I appreciate you. Team USA, they've got training camp in Vegas July 4th, then on to Tokyo. No telling who will be in uniform. Leave it here. The bald-faced truth. We got more coming up. Every day on the show, we do the Big Splash. It's the one thing that you need to know.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, the college football playoff is considering a proposal for a 12-team format. And by considering, it means they're already discussing it. They're taking questions from the presidents and the athletic directors. They're encouraging them to go back to their constituents and come back with questions. It feels to me, and to a lot of people, like they're going to 12 teams. It's just a matter of how it works out, who gets in, which teams are there, and let's iron this out. Yeah. I think one day we'll look back and we'll go, how did they pick the national champion once upon a time? Oh, they voted on it in the AP poll, and then they went to a formula involving computers and rankings and strength of schedule, and then they just picked the two teams that played? That seems silly. They're finally getting ready to let it play out on the field. And it's not going to make everybody happy, but it is a better system than some of the stuff that I previously mentioned. That's on the horizon. Some other things that are happening, Mike Conley with Utah still not ready to go. He's going to miss game two of their series. Also, Bruce Arians telling the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he's kind of no nonsense, that he's saying, you want to get normal, go back and go get vaccinated. And then he said, look, they're holding a vaccine drive for players and their families at their facility in Tampa. Apparently, they want to have 85% of the team vaccinated. So they're saying if everybody's tired of meeting outside and eating outside, he says, let's go get vaccinated. So Bruce Arians like banging the drum in Tampa with his players to get vaccinated so that they can get back to some semblance of normal, quote unquote, air quotes, normal. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the departure of Pac-12 commissioner Larry Scott, plus Brian T. Smith, columnist at the Houston Chronicle, reached out to me this morning, and he said, man, what you guys have going on up there in Portland is a lot like what we had going on with the Rockets before they imploded. I want to get that vantage point from Brian T. Smith. How different is this Blazers change or pivot as they're trying to pivot and keep winning while leaving the door for Damian Lillard's future wide open? What are we really talking about here? Plus, we'll talk about Larry Scott's departure, Punch It Audio, the best sound from all around, and I'll tell you about something I'm doing that is highly unusual. It really is. I never in a million years thought I'd be doing this, but I'll tell you what I'm doing coming up. Judah Newby, let's talk a little bit about USA basketball. Barry Bloom, our guest, 57 players in Vegas on July 4th. Who's going to want to go?
Wow, that's the thing, because I saw a report from that Damian Lillard would want to play for Team USA, and yeah. I'm just like, this guy's relentless if he really wants to do that. If I was Dame at this point, I'm disappointed that my season's been over. You know, we've got a head coaching search that I'm supposed to be, you know, at least part of. You know, Neil is supposed to call me and get some level of input from me.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I didn't have a full off season last year. I went right from the end of the season in the bubble to this season now, had emotional topsy-turvy type of year. And then you're going to say I got to leave my family again to go play in Japan? That'd be a hard pass for me personally, but Dame apparently has no problem with it. Like, he wants to do it, which I got to applaud him for.
Yeah, he got cut the last time they had this. And so I think there's part of him probably that wants on his resume an Olympic gold medal. And if you look at the timeline, you know, he really can't bank on the fact that he would make the team 4 years from now. You can't at his age. So I think he's got to seize this opportunity.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.